Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Bite hard, that'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos and Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
Welcome back to the Waco History Podcast, broadcasting from the top of the Alico Building. My good friend and former guest, Ashley Bean Thornton, is here with me. Welcome, Ashley.
Well, thanks, Stephen.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And how about this view?
It's fantastic.
Up here. And
so
I think
fun.
For a history podcast and for content for your book, it makes great fodder for the imagination. So it's a great view out here. And so I've had Ashley back because this is a project that she's worked on for some time. And I want to find out. There's things I have questions.
Good.
And so I'm gonna see.
It would be like a super boring podcast without that.
I'm going to seek answers to my questions. But I will tease both this book that's coming out. We'll tell you the name here in just a minute. And also Ashley has done a podcast that here at Rogue that was kind of the birthplace for working out some of these ideas that grew into the much expanded and much celebrated publication coming out April 1st, 2024. And the title is?
Waco, A Fantastical History, 15 Fascinating Tales of Dubious Veracity.
Fantastic. That's a great title. There's a lot in the title. You know, every good title should have a colon. This title has two colons.
Two colons.
Which would just suggest how rich.
How great it is.
How rich it is in content. And so a great project, a really fun project looking at Waco's, and of course I can do air quotes all day long because you can't see them. Waco's history. And some great stories from Waco's supposed past, but I don't want to give anything away on the book, but I do want to talk about kind of the idea behind it.
Okay.
If you know Ashley, you know she's very involved in the community. She is the queen of Waco Walks, act locally, reading programs in schools. There's all sorts of things that Ashley is involved in here locally in town, book clubs, all sorts of things. I'm interested in knowing, Ashley, you know, why this turn towards history?
Well, you know, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it.
That's
if
right.
If we're going to repeat it, I want it to be more fun.
As a historian, I can agree with you. It does need to be more fun at times. So talk about the genesis of the idea and kind of how it evolved to this point.
Well, like you mentioned, one of my little projects has been Waco Walks. Mm-hmm. And through Waco Walks, I have been lucky enough to learn quite a lot of Waco history. Mm-hmm. That's been fascinating. Waco, to me, it's so fun to study the history of Waco because, to me, almost every part of American history that I remember studying when I was in, you know, high school, I can see a little element of it here in Waco, at least since the Civil War, you know, maybe not so much stuff before the Civil War, but a lot of the different historical moments that I can remember studying in American history, like the Civil War and, you know, the Civil Rights Movement and different things like that, there are direct stories about Waco that make a good connection to that. So I just ever since we've lived here about almost 30 years now, I've thought this was just a great place to live as far as exploring history through the city. Mm-hmm. And then also connected to walking I walk quite a lot, mm-hmm. and I don't like to, you know, a lot of people like listen to books or podcasts or music or something like that when they're walking, but I don't do that because I'm always afraid somebody's going to run over me.
Yeah.
And so,
valid fear. Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, that leaves me time to think, kind mm-hmm. of unstructured time to think, mm-hmm. which is something that we don't really have that much of anymore. I don't think a lot of those little gaps in, you know, when we're not busy doing some particular thing are filled in now with media and podcasts and different things like that. And we don't have a lot of just empty time to mm-hmm. think. And so, but I do because I walk a lot and yeah. I don't listen to things. And so that I think is where some of these stories came from, just walking down the street with nothing much to think about. And
that's so cool. Anyway. So Ashley, of course, has been a advocate for a more walkable Waco. She's done different things to advocate for that. And I know that about you. And of course, I see you mm-hmm. certain places, particularly Whataburger. We see each other. But I haven't thought about, yeah, if you were in your car, you'd get there faster and you'd be listening
to the radio.
KWBU yes. would be on mm-hmm. or something.
Sure.
You'd
Absolutely.
Be listening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just the space that it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've noticed, and this is not about me, but I've noticed even in the Zoom age we live in now, I don't even have 15 minutes between meetings to walk
right.
from meeting to meeting.
Right.
I log on to the next meeting.
Right. Exactly.
And so that space, I could see how right. there's a space for creativity
uh-huh.
there. I agree with your comment about history. I say all history is local history.
Right.
But, you know, most people don't necessarily explore it. So why do you think you desired to learn more about Waco's history and Waco's past?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I mean, I took a lot of history as a student. I've mm-hmm. always been interested in history. I mean, if I had double majored, that would have been my other major. It was history. I just think it is particularly if you can kind of get into the local history, I think one of the things it does for you is in a funny way help you figure out how what you're doing now could potentially make a difference, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, just thinking about, I'll just stick with the topic of walkability. You know, Waco's a lot bigger now, of course, than it was mm-hmm. in the 18-whatevers, 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, everybody walked everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? Or rode a horse or something like that, but walked a lot. And now we don't live that way. And so we've made decisions that make it harder for us to live that way. And I mean, it's just kind of interesting to me to follow those developments and to think about, you know, what decisions are we making right now that are going to have positive or negative effects 100 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, putting I-35 between Baylor and downtown Waco.
Yeah.
You know, that had a huge effect. I mean, imagine if that wasn't there
mm-hmm.
and downtown Waco and Baylor were connected, how different that would be.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of why I'm interested in history, because by looking back, I feel like you can have some sense of the effect you're having on the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I feel myself all the time talking about how important context is.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and most people, that's lost on, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
We
right.
don't have time
right.
to understand the context.
Right, right. And I think also one thing that's interesting about more local history is, you know, the big historical thing. I mean, when do people learn about history? Like in high school, mm-hmm. when arguably you have other things you care about, you
mm-hmm.
know, in
yeah.
college, and that you become a historian. You know, you read books about history and things like that if you're interested in it the rest of your life. But you just kind of get these big global, I guess, stereotypes, you know, this kind of person was all bad or all good or,
mm-hmm.
But when it's a little bit more local, you get a little bit more sense of, well, you know, we're all a little bit good and bad. And,
yeah.
You know, even good people make horrible decisions and people accidentally do good things every now and then. And,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah, it allows a little complexity.
Right, right.
Enter into
maybe a little bit yeah. more giving each other the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Now, so there's two threads with this book. There's kind of history and then there's storytelling. Mm-hmm. And so I want to ask about the storytelling thread. Mm-hmm. Just maybe your interest in storytelling or kind of how you maybe consume or what sort of stories you've liked, mm-hmm. or that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm from the South, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean the real South, not Texas.
Now you're going to have an argument in your hands. If I tell my grandmother she's not from the South, because she's from East Texas.
Well, the only people from Texas who say they're from the South are the ones who have never been to the real South. My family's from Mississippi. Uh-huh. And so even though I didn't live in Mississippi very much, I grew up most of the time in Texas. Mm-hmm. But that's a deep storytelling tradition, mm-hmm. and a notorious lack of interest in the facts. And so, I mean, I'll just tell the story of my dedication.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if I mean it's probably too long of a story for me to care about, but it says, from Ashley Bean Thorne to my mom, Mary Toler McDonald, who loves a good story, and to the Itawamba Junior College Wampus Cats. Well, that's a story from my dad. So mm-hmm. my dad grew up near Tupelo, Mississippi, and a lot of my aunts and uncles went to Itawamba Junior College back then, it was called. That's the county. They lived in Itawamba County. Mm-hmm. And my whole life, my dad told us stories about the IJC, Itawamba Junior College, Wampus Cats, mm-hmm. and this, that, and the other. So when I got to be about, I don't know, 35 or 40, as soon as there was like internet, my sister and I decided wouldn't it be fun to order Dad for Christmas a Itawamba Junior College Wampus Cat sweatshirt. So we called up the Itawamba Junior College and said, hey, we want to order a sweatshirt for our dad for Christmas, and we want to make sure it has a big old Wampus Cat right on the front. And the lady on the phone was like, Wampus Cats? What are you talking about? And we said, you know, the IJC Wampus Cats. And she said, we're the Indians. I said, well, when did you become the Indians? She said, we've always been the Indians. So we ordered my dad this sweatshirt. It has the Indians on the front. He opens it up. He goes, oh, that's great. And we said, Dad, it's Indians. And he goes, yeah, I know. And said, but you've always said Wampus Cats. He goes, yeah, I just like Wampus Cats better.
That's a great story. Yeah.
And that's just kind of the way storytelling always was in our family. And Craig, my poor husband, Craig, you know, I'll start telling a story and he'll be like, no, no, it's it. And I'm like, honey, you're messing up the story.
Yeah, yeah. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, my first job was at the University of Southern Mississippi, and uh-huh. I was at their oral history program there. Mm-hmm. And we had an oral history there, and one of my favorites that we had was with Jerry Clower.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I returned to some of the stories he tells, right? And just how he tells a story and the way in which, you know none of this was true.
Right.
We're not going to let that get in the way of just enjoying a great story.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story about Jerry Clower.
Yeah.
When I was about 7 or 8, mm-hmm. my mom gave me a Jerry Clower album for Christmas or birthday or something. Yeah. Well, I had no idea who that was. I was a little kid. And years later, she 100% confessed that she just wanted it for herself.
That is hilarious. So there's all sorts of good advice on the podcast. How to get right. what you want. Give it to a loved one. Well, so, you know, that tradition of storytelling, mm-hmm. you know, the idea of kind of a local history or maybe ideas and icons and places mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that are Waco kind of places. What led you to kind of begin to pair those together and express? Because you can think about them, but you're sitting down and creating these at some point. So talk a little bit about that process.
Well, during COVID, mm-hmm. a friend, well, actually, I didn't really even know him at the time, but I was Facebook friends with, I can't remember which one, but Trent now, his last name's Clifford, and Sarah Frances Moran, who's a poet mm-hmm. in town, started a little online, you know, Zoom writing group mm-hmm. during COVID, and they just posted something about it on Facebook, I guess. And I responded and said, oh, I want to do that. And so that's when it started, as I wrote a few of the first little stories for that. And they were super encouraging, especially Trent really had a fit over them. And so that was how it actually started, pen to paper.
Okay.
Or, you know, fingers to keyboard or whatever we do now. And
yeah. So what was your first piece? What your first piece that you produced?
The first story was actually one I never did finish.
Okay.
And it was going to be about the silos.
Uh-huh.
And what if they, instead of being like cottonseed silos, they were really almost like missile silos, except for giant confetti cannons. And the confetti was launched out into Waco, like, you know, a foot deep in downtown, and all the issues that would come along with that. But I never did finish
it.
That
was
story.
A conceit.
I need to finish
it wasn't
that
strong
story.
Enough.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
You need
right.
To return back to it now.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So the first one that you, let's do the first one that you finished and shared.
Yeah. The very first one I finished and shared was the first one in the book, which is just the little tidbit about Jacob de Cordova's parrot.
Yes. That's the one that's the one I remember. Yeah. Well, I don't want to give it away, but any the parameters of that story or what it's about, an abstract, can you share an abstract?
I think it's about, jealousy between impresarios that explored Texas and how to express that jealousy in a gentlemanly way.
Which, you know, as we sit in the 175th anniversary of Waco's founding.
That's right.
It's a great story to start a book off with and read. So how have folks, I'm really interested, this is a question I wanted to get to, how have folks responded, as you've shared? So, you've been able to share the stories. This is a great compilation that has new and kind of expanded a presentation of stories, but you've shared the stories other ways. And so I'm interested to know, how do people react to your scholarship as they encounter it? In my realm of history, we talk about peer review. You have peer review, and your peers give you feedback sometimes.
You have to have peers for that.
You're peerless. But I'm interested in your feedback and people's reaction to your work.
When I actually started thinking about turning it into a book and talked to my friend Vicky, who ended up doing all the pictures for it, one of the things I told her in that first conversation is I said, Vicky, this is going to be a lot of work, and I really don't know who's going to read this book. And that's still kind of a question yet to be answered.
Well, I will say, before you answer this question, so Vicky Northern's illustrations are reason enough alone to buy this book. It's a beautiful book. It's got a beautiful cover, and she's got some great illustrations throughout. So that's a huge, huge selling point.
Yeah, she did. She did a terrific job, really above and beyond. She worked so hard on it. She really worked harder on it than I did. The people who have liked it, I don't really know why they liked it. They just liked it, I guess, because it was a little bit weird, like fun. When I asked Craig, my husband, what he thought of it, he was like, it's just fun. It's fun. Some things can just be fun. They don't have to have another reason. But I will say, I don't know how to say this. I mean, there was a good number of people who were like, really? I was like, well, they are of dubious veracity.
That's right.
So I think people who are interested in history kind of like them too, in a backhanded kind of way. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see who likes it. Probably just people who like me.
I think you're trusted. I think you're trusted locally. But I think that's part of their reaction. Really? I mean, what Ashley's telling us must be true. Really?
It's funny how people can trust you without knowing you very well.
Well, it's already receiving accolades on the back of the book. Do you mind sharing some of the accolades that the book has already received?
No, I'm happy to share. Yeah. So
you have to read them as they're written.
Right. I will. Yeah. So the first little blurb on the back is from Eric Swanson, who's the executive director of Historic Waco. And he said, astonishing. In these few pages, Miss Thornton has done more to obfuscate the history of Waco than any other historian in Waco's long history of historians.
Yeah. Well, part of this, right, is how's your vocabulary? Yeah. I had a good friend and at Baylor who had an older brother who would insult her with words that she did not know.
Right.
But the tone with which he would say, you're so ambidextrous. And she would cry and go to her mother and then come in, and he wouldn't get in trouble because all I said was she was ambidextrous.
Right.
So you may need a thesaurus if you want to read this book. Yeah. All right. So what else do we have there?
As far as the reviews?
Yeah.
Oh, this is from J.B. Smith.
Uh-huh. A very trusted.
Right. Exact journalist. I mean, Waco Tribune Herald.
What is J.B. Smith not covered right? For us here locally?
Yes. So he says, a remarkable book. One that I hope gets the attention it deserves. I have always thought that Waco needs a definitive and accurate history. After perusing this account, I am more convinced than ever of that need.
That is fantastic. That is great. Well, I know it'll find a readership. Now, I've got mine on there, so yes, I'm an endorser of the book.
Yes.
Now, this was ghostwritten. For me, but what did I say?
So Dr. Stephen Sloan, professor of history at Baylor University, says this is an extraordinary and incredible piece of work. Seriously, not credible.
Well, I know it's going to find a readership. You know, I hope we have a launch kind of event for it.
Yes.
I mean, I would love to have an event. Is there anything like that planned
yet?
Yes,
we are definitely planning an event. We're trying to find the right space for it that is cheap because we don't have any proceeds yet. Mm-hmm. But we're definitely probably the date we're looking at is April 20th.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for that. We had hoped to do a little bit sooner, but then this eclipse deal got in the way.
If we're all still here.
Yes. And then this, that, and the other. But probably April 20th.
Okay.
Will be when we have our book release.
Okay. Is there another story? Is there a story maybe didn't make it in the book or anything that you could tease? You know, the trailer, a good trailer doesn't give the movie away. But it whets our appetite to say, I can't let anything stand in the way of me acquiring the book. So
gosh.
Is there a tidbit that you want to share with us?
That's high pressure.
Sorry.
I don't know. I can just read, I like the story of the first Baylor Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Because people, the bear was given to Baylor by the 107th Engineers, Army Engineers, who are based at Camp MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you wonder why they had a bear? Why did they have a bear?
Yeah, but obviously you researched it.
Yes.
And you know.
Yes.
So in the book is revealed.
You can learn the true tale.
Why they
had a bear. I think you can still find online Trent Clifford, who also does Wild Imaginings, the theater group.
Yeah.
Recorded several of the stories as old timey radio broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are still available. They did them through Rogue Media, and I think they're still available online.
They are. I looked them up this morning when I was getting ready for this and saw they're still there.
So those are fun to listen to, too. That would be a good way to get a taste of it.
Yeah, and maybe the other stories that aren't recorded, maybe there's a chance you'll record those.
Oh, I don't know. I had to talk to Trent about that.
Yeah.
He's got a book coming out, too, so he's gotten kind of busy. But yes.
Well, in my research this morning, I pulled several quotes about history.
Yes.
And as historian to historian, I would like to I would like to read these quotes for you and through the lens of what you've just produced, react to. The first quote is from Napoleon Bonaparte. Easygoing fella. if you remember from history. But Napoleon once said, history is a set of lies agreed upon.
oh, you clearly do not have to agree upon them. That seems like an extremely high bar.
All right, that's good. So they can be lies. Right. But they can be lies we have disagreement
right,
about.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. These first two are a little heavy, but it gets lighter after that. George Orwell, again, lighthearted fellow. Yes. The most effective way to destroy people is to deny and obliterate their own understanding of their history.
Oh. You know, I mean, yeah. To be serious for just a minute, I do think that's really true. Mm-hmm. I mean that, I think it's important. Like I say, one of the reasons I think it's maybe important to make a little bit of fun of history mm-hmm. is to get people engaged in it at all, mm-hmm. you know, because I think sometimes we contribute to our own obliteration of our history.
I agree.
And so it is important to keep people engaged with it, I think. Mm-hmm.
I think I know you well enough to assume that one of the hopes with the book is they'll learn about someone that they'll go then learn
right,
about.
Right, and then go learn about from a more credible source.
Okay.
Ask. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things, you know, media, everybody says mm-hmm. this all the time, but, you know, we're just so willing to just believe whatever we see. Mm-hmm. And I didn't intend this when I was writing it because I didn't realize it was going to be a challenge. But one of the things is I hope people read things like this and go, that's not true. You know, and I hope they'll learn to do that in real life.
Yeah.
You know, that's not true. Yeah. There's, I mean, we need to do that maybe a little more than we're.
We do.
Then we do.
As a history professor, I guarantee you we do. Yeah. Harry S. Truman.
Yes.
The only thing new in the world is the history you do not know.
Ah, fascinating.
Which is pretty good for Harry. Mm, yeah,
yeah, I mean, that's pretty good. I wonder if he got that from somebody else.
And then this one that could have been another endorsement on the back of the book. Yeah. I don't know Jim Hinckley, but he's an author himself. He said, it is better to fill your head with useless knowledge than no knowledge at all.
Oh, yeah. No, that is 100% true. Yes, the empty space is the most dangerous.
Yeah. Well, say the name of the book again, because we want to make sure folks have heard it.
Right. The name is Waco, A Fantastical History, 15 Fascinating Tales of Dubious Veracity.
Okay. And if you're hearing this, the book is available. You can buy it right now. And where would they go to buy it, Ashley?
Well, it's going to be available on Amazon. Okay. It's a self-published thing through the little Amazon mm-hmm. deal. So it should be available there starting April 1st. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, we'll be having at least one and probably a few little reception/book signings around town where we'll be selling them at a little bit of a discount just for local folks.
And so if you don't subscribe to Act Locally, Waco, that might be a way they would find out if these events happen, or what's the best way to find
out? That would be a good place. There's a Facebook, there's a Waco Fantastical History Facebook page.
There you go. So see, you that's could, where all true things yes, end up is exactly. on Facebook.
So you can find it on Facebook and we'll be, you know, telling people there where we'll be. I wish I could tell you right now where we'll be, but like I say, we're still hunting around for a place to have our first little book signing.
Yeah, well, that's very exciting. I know I want to be there, and appreciate your effort in putting it together.
Well, I appreciate your effort in helping me tell people about it.
Always fun to be together, and I love good history.
Yes, right? Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you. Across the Brazos and Waco, ride
hard, that'll make it by dawn. Thanks for listening to the Waco History Podcast. Like what you heard? Subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes so we can reach more listeners. You can find show notes and info on every episode at wacohistorypodcast.com and more info on Waco's past at wacohistory.org. Our theme music, used with permission, is Cross the Brazos at Waco, performed by the late Billy Walker. For more info on Billy's music, go to billywalker.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. This has been a Rogue Media Network production.